Well, good afternoon and welcome to Bluegrass Breakout here on Pickup Country 104.9 FM WSKV and on the web at listenlikealocal.com. Appreciate you tuning in and making us part of your Tuesday. We've got a very special guest with us today. We have Kelvin Damrell of the Steel Drivers. Welcome.
Thank you for letting me come today.
Well, you know, I don't feel like I let you come. I kind of feel like I was begging for you to come because I was so excited to learn that we had a steel driver in our listening area so close. You live in Berea?
I do, yeah. I've lived there just about my whole life other than about a 14-year stint in Broadhead. That's Rockcastle County. That's where my parents moved. So,
gotcha.
From there, I moved straight to Berea, and I, you know, there's been talk of wanting me to move to Nashville, but I don't want to move to Nashville. I love it here.
Yeah.
I don't want to move anywhere else. I like it where I live. So.
So you are at home right here in our listening area, and I understand you're a new dad, fairly new.
Fairly new, yeah. He's my youngest is 2.5. And, I became a dad about 4 years ago or something to my stepson. He was he's a year and some odd, just a couple days after a year, I think. But he was my first experience as a dad.
And, gotcha.
And then I got my Grady Lee, and I got to see the hardness of being like an infant, you know.
Yes. So you're doing that, and you're making music. How in the world did you end up becoming a steel driver, and did you ever foresee that being a possibility?
No. Did you ever watch the movie Rockstar? It's got Mark Wahlberg
in
it.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that movie's based on Ripper Owens getting to join Judas Priest. He was a total Judas Priest head. And he got to, like, join the band that he was so, you know, he idolized so much. That was kind of my story, except I wasn't, you know, I didn't idolize the Steel Drivers per se, but I idolized Chris Stapleton.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, he influenced my vocals, like, more than anybody else has ever. And then one day they hit me up, you know, a project he was involved in before, and they asked me if I want to come hang out and jam. So I was like, yeah, that's cool. Had the awfulest head cold
that
I ever had in my chest, in my throat. And that was, and I don't ever get sick. And I just happened to be sick, you know, during that time. And I'm like, look, y'all, don't judge me. don't make this be anything. I'm really sick. Just let me just come and jam and stuff. But if I start cracking, don't judge that. They're like, oh, it don't mean anything, man. This ain't an audition and we're just hanging out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay. We jammed and on the way home, I think I made it to where 65 connects with 40, and they called me. They're like, all right, we're thinking about letting you join if you're into that. I was like, yeah, I'm definitely into that.
Now, you come from more of a rock background. Tell us about your rock band.
Well, my background starts, I mean, my first experience with music was my mom's side of the family. They picked bluegrass gospel, and I hated it. I enjoyed it while I was there, but I never had any kind of push to learn it, and I really didn't even want to. And so my dad played guitar. Slightly played, you know, he played just probably 15 or 20 songs he learned all at one time, and then stopped.
Mm-hmm.
But he taught me my G, C, D, A minor, and B.
The basics?
Basic chords. And I was with it for about probably 2 or 3 weeks, and I was doing my own things after that because I loved it so much. I was spending six to eight hours a day on it. You know, come straight home from school, go straight to my bedroom, and don't come out of there all day. You know. Mom and Dad, they never made me go to bed either, so I was up till 3 in the morning, even on school nights, picking and singing and doing that deal.
So you were doing the guitar, and you said you were sharing with me before we came on air that you actually wrote a song when you were really young for your dad. How old were you?
I was probably 13 or 14, maybe 14. It's called My GTX. It was horrible. But it was a shared thing for me and my dad because we both are Mopar heads, you know, when it comes to classic muscle cars. And you know, everybody around us, they like Chevy or Ford or something like that. But me and Dad were always the odd ones out who like Mopar.
Mm-hmm.
So I wrote him a song to honor him. And like I told you earlier, he went around telling everybody about it. And it was, I found it the other day, and it was cringingly, embarrassingly bad.
I'm sure it's not that bad, because I'm sure you're probably critiquing it a lot harder because it's yours.
Yeah, you're not supposed to let the critic and yourself out of the box until you're at least halfway through with a song. And, well, that's one of the reasons I don't write much, is because he's, like, out when you start it.
Yeah,
this ain't worth it.
Makes it hard. Definitely makes it hard. So tell us some of your rock influences. I mean, what kind of stuff were you listening to or playing or aspiring to play?
Well, when I first came, when I first got my guitar, and Dad was first teaching me my chords, and he liked the Eagles. And so he would teach my first, one of my first songs was Hotel California with that. But I quickly learned that that's like extremely hard for somebody, you know, who's a beginner to play. So what happened was I didn't have any access to the internet, or didn't have any access to people who played music. I didn't have access to anything. So my uncle, his son gave me a old boombox that, I mean, it was horrible. It had been painted with fingernail polish and and everything, but it still worked. And Dad taught me that you could knock out the tops of the cassettes and stuff toilet paper down in there and record over tapes. So I was playing along with the radio on double Q, as what I listened to all the time, 100.1, and I'd play along with that and record myself playing along with it, you know. And my biggest influence was always Robert Plant vocally.
Good choice.
Yeah, he was my biggest influence starting out, until I discovered Paul Stanley of Kiss. then he was my biggest influence. So.
And you had a band. How many folks were in your band?
My very first band was with my dad. My dad was in my very first band. It was called Tantalize, and it was a three-piece. I was the guitar player and the singer, and my bass player was the bass player and the singer, and Dad drummed. So he was a drummer first, you know.
Well, we have got more coming up with Kelvin, but in the meantime, let's hear a little song by Yonder Mountain String Band called Half Moon Rising. We'll be back to talk with Kelvin a little bit more about the Steel Drivers and his experience. I want to hear how you've adjusted to touring with raising a family. That's got to be difficult. But
that's a funny story, actually. Yeah.
Is it? Okay, well, we'll hear more when we come back.
Hi, this is Casey Campbell of Buffalo Wilds and the Price Hill Hustle, and you're listening to Pickup Country 104.9 FM, your one-of-a-kind, all-of-the-time station.
Bright and they push me on and on.
There's a half moon rising in southeastern skies.
There's a cold wind blowing across the great divide.
And the stars, they guide my way across the night.
There's a half moon rising,
pushing me on over another mountaintop. Push me on, no, I'll never stop. Push me on.
There's a in southeastern skies tonight.
Now the shoes on my feet, the soles are broken down. Pushes me on.
There's a half moon rising in southeastern skies.
There's a cold wind blowing across the great divide.
And the stars, they guide my way across the night.
There's a half moon rising,
pushing me on over another mountaintop. Push me on, no, I'll never stop.
push me on.
There's a half moon rising in southeastern skies tonight.
Divide, and the stars they guide my way across the night. There's a half moon rising,
pushing me on over another mountaintop. Push me on, no, I'll never stop. Push me on.
There's a half moon rising in southeastern skies tonight.
And we're back with Kelvin Damrell. And so tell us about what it's like to find yourself touring and raising kids.
Well, anybody that has kids and tours knows, well, I'm not sure if that's the case because not everybody's the same, but my kids are wild. Oh, my goodness, they're like the Tasmanian devil. And when I'm not home, it's about two or three times worse mm-hmm. as when I am home. So I'm constantly getting calls on the road from my wife. Oh my gosh, you're going to have to say something through the phone to calm these children down because they're tearing my house apart as well as my nerves. And I have to use the dad voice over the phone sometimes. And it don't work nearly as good as when you're in person. And it's funny. What the funny story I was going to tell you is, like, I was out one time and my wife called me. She's like, oh my gosh. Gosh, you won't believe what happened. I was like, what? And she said, I woke up this morning and Grady was gone.
Oh, no.
I was like, well, where was he? I can't remember if this is Grady or Levi, actually. Yeah, it was Levi, actually. It was my oldest boy, but he was younger. You know, I think he was still in diapers when I first started this. But she's like, I woke up and Levi was gone. I was like, well, where in the world was he? She's like, well, I got up, and I started out of my bedroom, and there was a shirt, and there was a pair of pants, and then there was a diaper. As I'm walking, you know, I'm finding all this. It's like a trail. And she said, and then finally, there was a turd.
Oh, no.
And she said, and I found him laying in another bed, and he had got up, used the bathroom, and then laid down. I was like, oh, my goodness, the stuff that you call me and tell me, man.
But it's good she has a lifeline where she can call, I'm sure.
Yeah, I commend her because that's a hard job. I've seen it. Being off, you know, from working, I used to swing a hammer every day, and I wasn't there a lot. So, you know, when I'm home, I get to see a lot of what she goes through. And, man, my dad told her one time, he's like, oh, my gosh, you deserve an award for being able to put up with what you put up with in a day and still, you know, cook, clean,
mm-hmm.
be a good mom. She's a homeschool teacher, too. She homeschools my oldest son.
Yeah, motherhood is not for wimps, that's for sure.
Oh my gosh. I'm a wimp. If something ever happened to my wife, the good Lord would have to send me a lot of money to pay for a maid, because I would have probably a nasty house, hungry kids.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Lord.
Yeah, they require a whole lot, for sure. Now, you being a member of the Steel Drivers, you are the youngest member, correct?
Yes, I am the youngest member. And believe me, it I feel it every time we go. They're like, they're sitting, everybody's talking about something that happened or something that, you know, some artist they all love. And they're like, and then at some point in the conversation, they'll look over at me to see my reaction. And I'm just like, I don't know who that is. And they're like, oh, son, you are way too young. Then they'll turn me on to some new artist or something.
So, but I imagine that you probably have learned just vast amounts from them, though, and their experience. I would imagine, you know, it would be such a different lifestyle from, you know, living in Berea and doing what you do and then going on the road and recording and writing. You said you're starting to get your feet wet with writing with other people and that kind of thing. So what are some of the things that you've learned from their experience, you being the younger?
Well, just about every part of it, because I'd never been on tour before. I mean, which we don't really tour as a steel driver. We tour 3 or 4 day legs. 4 days is the most I've ever done in a row. But still yet, every single thing that comes with it, I mean, as far as being on the tour bus, you know, which we don't use that a lot, but every once in a while there's rules to tour busing, which I didn't know.
I didn't know that either.
There's rules for the road, you know, as far as picking the music and, you know, just when you're not playing music, there's a whole other life to touring.
And getting along with people.
And also, there's, like, everybody in my general area right there and in my life is pretty laid back about stuff. And there's a certain level of respect you have to give them because they have came into their self, you know, and they don't want certain things. And, you know, there's certain things you need to not talk about. There's certain things you need to be, you know, you need to be quiet, you know, at certain times of the morning. Some of them are grouchy in the morning, Brent. but it's a learning experience all the way around, because I respect them greatly, and so I want to learn about them, what they like and don't like, you know. Mm-hmm. So I don't want to be the guy that causes their bad mood to be worse or causes, you know what I'm saying?
Oh yeah. Well, I would imagine anytime you're in close quarters and you have a tight schedule, you know, you probably, in any situation, whether it's music or not, you probably kind of have to be really sensitive to other people's needs just for people to get along. Because I've been, you know, trapped in a vehicle with somebody traveling just on vacation. And it's amazing how people that you love all the other times in life, but when you're trapped in that vehicle with them for four hours at a time, it's like the least little thing can get ugly quick.
Yeah, I didn't want to put it out to be like that. That is 1% of the time. 1% of the time with the bad moods. But we have a grand time on the road. We really do. It is hilarious. 90% of the time it's hilarious. And you learn new humor that you didn't ever think you'd ever hear, because we're from two totally different parts of the world as far as, you know, culture. They're from Nashville. All of them are from or have lived in Nashville their whole life, and I'm from Hillbilly Town, you know, in Berea, and they get a kick out of me because the way I think and the way I speak is different than what they're used to, you know, from being down there in the ever-growing city.
Well, we would love to have them up here to hang out, to acclimate to, you know, kind of our culture and how we talk, because I would love to just have them all surrounded by folks from Berea and here in Irvin and Stanton and all of us talking like we do and doing what we do and saying what we do and thinking like we do. I think that'd be a lot of fun. If you were to pick out of your bandmates, probably who has done the most to take you under their wing and teach you some of these things that were unknown until you joined, who would that?
Mike Fleming. My bass player, I've stayed with him at his house in Nashville, because when I come down, I'm basically having to stay. It's a 7-hour round trip. I mean, not even counting traffic or anything. So when I come, I have to stay. But he offers me a bedroom and shower and the kitchen, basically tells me to make myself at home. But anyway, he when I first came onto the thing, there was a lot of things that were new to me that I didn't really know how to work yet, and he was always the one to take me under his wing and not saying the rest of them didn't at some point, but mm-hmm. he's done the most for me personally.
Now, you've got, you guys have the show coming up in February at Manchester Music Hall. Is it different for you playing in Kentucky versus away from Kentucky? Do you feel more at home when you're playing in Kentucky, or does it all feel like, oh, I'm getting ready to go on stage and do this? Does the nerves come either way, or?
No, they don't. Kentucky's different, definitely different, but not all parts of Kentucky. I wouldn't want to alienate anywhere, but Louisville, to me, feels like I'm playing in California, you know, but playing in Lexington. Mm-hmm. I worked in Lexington. I know a bunch of people from Lexington. A bunch of people come to my show from Lexington, and, you know, when I'm playing somewhere like Lexington, it is hype city for me, because mm-hmm. I get ready to go on stage, and, you know, there's certain parts of the show where I'm a performer. I perform, and when I hit my big high notes, you know, that I've trained my voice so long to do, hearing that when it happens gives mm-hmm. me more
yeah.
to do, and it means way more when that is coming from people that I know and love.
I imagine so. I could picture that being the case. And I'd say too, I mean, the music family, and I have to call them that, here in the Lexington and outreaching areas is different. I mean, there is a sense of family, and I feel like, you know, we've only been a part of that for a short while, but it's interesting to see how welcoming and inclusive that community is.
Oh, goodness, I know. I'm not, and it pains me to say this, but I'm a family man. I ain't got time to be out checking out artists, you know, every mm-hmm. Friday night. But I'm not super intertwined into the local scene, but I do follow a bunch of them on Facebook, and I got a real good buddy who his posts keep me up to date on all the local artists. His name's Jamie Wilson. He's a big hit at the Kicking It on the Creek.
Oh yeah, I'm friends with Jamie.
You know Jamie?
I know Jamie.
I grew up with Jamie. He and I grew up about 2 minutes from each other, so
he is something. He's a character.
He is definitely a character. But he keeps me up to date on a lot of the inner workings of the local scene. You know?
Well, that's good to know you're getting the good stuff.
Because
he likes just about everything. I'd say that all of the locals that I listen to, he's following passionately as well.
He's the one that turned me on to Tyler Childers. He is. I mean, and it was before Tyler really blew up, too.
Mm-hmm.
And he was showing all the Bottles and Bible stuff and the Red Marn Radio stuff. And man, that's a good stuff.
Yes, it is the good stuff. It sure is. He actually, Tyler, was our most aired, most requested artist of 2018. And I have not seen the numbers yet for 2019. But I would imagine...
Go ahead and mark it down.
I would imagine, given just the margin of difference between him over other artists in 2018, I would imagine he was last year as well. And he just seems to keep gaining steam, and it's great because right now, of course, he's on tour overseas, and the Local Honeys, which is another group that we play often, they are over there with him, and it's kind of funny because, talking about family, the Local Honeys, Montana's dad is Monty Hobbs, and he normally calls the station when they're overseas because he misses his girl, and he'll say, I sure would like to hear some Local Honeys because my girl's over across the big pond. And I hadn't heard from him this whole time they've been gone. So I actually tried to call him yesterday to make sure he's okay. Because you know, it's like, I know you're missing her. Why aren't you calling? So I have determined that either something is wrong and I'm going to hear about it in the news, or he's over there with her.
Yeah.
I don't know what's just going on, but I plan to find out before the day's up.
That would make a lot of sense.
Now, you guys have got this new album that's coming out. Tell folks a little bit about it.
Well, the name of the album is Bad For You, and it is one of the most different workings that the Steel Drivers has ever done. There's a sweet song on it, for once. I think the only other sweet songs that the Steel Drivers ever done was Where Rainbows Never Die and Heaven Sent. So this is one of the odd ones out that has a sweet song on it. But it is rock and roll with a bluegrass edge instead of bluegrass with a rock and roll edge.
Mm-hmm.
it's a really tough album, man. It's, I mean, compared to the other ones, It's very, very different. And compared to bluegrass itself, it's almost not, you know. It's more rock and roll to me than it is bluegrass.
But isn't that kind of what drew you to appreciate Chris Stapleton and what Absolutely. He was doing?
Absolutely. He was he's a rock vocalist.
Mm-hmm.
I got really big in, before I heard of Chris Stapleton, I was, my favorite vocalist, you know, of all time had become Chris Cornell.
Oh.
And Chris Cornell kind of has the same vocal qualities that mm-hmm. Stapleton has, other than, you know, the hillbilly twang that he got from Paintsville.
Yep.
You know, and, but anyway, yeah, for, as far as that goes, man, he was the biggest influence I had. And when I heard Stapleton, it took me down a rabbit trail, and it really influenced my vocals more than he already did. Because somebody told me I sounded like Stapleton, is why I checked him out.
Aha! So you had to know, who is this?
Yeah, Stapleton? Of course. Well, James Powell. My buddy James Powell introduced me to Chris Stapleton. He said, well, because we were planning on doing something, either some songwriting or another band at the time. And I'd went over to his house and we'd sang a bit. And he's like, man, you really sound like Chris Stapleton. I'm like, who's Chris Stapleton? He's like, oh, gosh. Oh, gosh. Watch out.
Yeah.
Watch out now. Look him up. And so I did. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. Gosh, good night.
Mm-hmm.
Good night. And that sent me on a rabbit trail. And he definitely influences me most in my vocals. But there is no trying to sound like him, you know.
Oh, no, I'd say not.
There's none of that. I mean, it's just, I listened to him and loved him for so long that's just the way my voice sounds now, you know. And plus, I smoked for a long time, too. And I smoked probably from when I was about 14 till 2018, and I stopped smoking cigarettes. But there's no choice for my voice but to go, ah!
Yeah.
When I get to a certain pitch, you know. But you'll hear that on the new album. That's where I was getting at with all that.
Yeah, good deal. So, and I think that's, you're kind of like a kindred spirit to me, because as I was telling you off air, I didn't like bluegrass until I came to work for the station. And I was exposed to it as a kid, and I thought it was old people music, and it just, I couldn't relate to it. And even though I could enjoy it while I was there hearing it, it's not something I would have gone and looked up and enjoyed at all. And, you know, I have had that rock kind of background that I enjoyed rock music, and I loved that driving kind of sound, you know. And I think that's what appealed to me most about the Steel Drivers. And then when Chris left and did the Johnson Brothers thing.
Oh, goodness.
Blown away. I'm just like, because part of it for me, I'm going to kind of date myself here. For me, it takes me back to a time when I was young. It's not the same music, but it's so much in that same vein mm-hmm. that I feel young again listening to that stuff. And it's just like, with his vocals, he could do just about anything, I think.
Yeah, I believe he could make a polka album and sell number one. I'm just saying.
Yeah, yeah.
I think, because, yeah, I'm with you. I feel you. It's like, I really liked the Steel Drivers because I thought that, like, bluegrass was old people music, too. Not so much just the old people music is what drew me away from it. I just didn't like it. I just didn't like it at all. There was nothing that I liked about it. I knew that I'd seen people play it before and knew that it was super difficult to mm-hmm. play, especially because I, you know, after I ripped my fingers off learning how to play guitar on that acoustic, my dad finally got me an electric, and, you know, I set the acoustic down and didn't touch it for a year because I was so busy on my electric. But, and then I see people playing the fast crap, you know, on the mm-hmm. acoustic. I was like, oh, my goodness, that takes skill. But also, like, my papaw can have all the skill he wants. I'm going to listen to Motley Crue, you know.
Right.
I'm going to listen to Led Zeppelin. And when I started digging into Chris Stapleton, I just kind of done the same thing that a lot of other people do. I went back you know, a little farther than the Johnson brothers and started seeing what he was doing and found the Steel Drivers. And I'm like, well, that's some bluegrass I can get on board with because, mm-hmm. that's like Robert Plant doing a bluegrass album or something.
Which he did do. It wasn't bluegrass, but he did do an album with Alison Krauss.
Yeah.
It was really good.
Yeah. He done some stuff with Jimmy Page, too, in the early 90s. That was bluegrassy. It was more folk, mm-hmm. you would call it, I guess.
What was it called?
I think it was just Page and Plant.
Page and Plant, yeah. I remember that, actually. Did you found what was, you know, previously done by Chris Stapleton, wondering if you've had a similar experience to me. Have you found an appreciation for bluegrass?
Yeah, absolutely. I love bluegrass.
The traditional, yeah. See, that was me. It's like I knew nothing and didn't want to. And then after I got a hold of the Steel Drivers, and then there were other bands, too, that once that switch got flipped, it was like, oh, this is really good. What is going on? Then I started digging, and now I have an appreciation for what I used to think was old folks music. And you say you've had a similar kind of...
Yeah, I didn't dig too much, and I still haven't dug too much. But what I was sent to check out, because I was asking how I could improve. You know, I was asking Tammy and Brent and Mike and Richard how I could improve as a guitar player, because I really wanted to learn how to flat pick, because I just felt like I was the odd man out up there. Everybody could sing and everybody could play, but they were like phenoms on their instruments, and I wasn't. I was a beginner in bluegrass, so I might as well have been playing the guitar for 2 weeks. And so I was asking how I could improve and what could make me a better player and a better singer, and Tammy was the first to speak up. She's like, you need to go get the 1975 album by J.D. Crowe and the New South and listen to Tony Rice's phrasing, vocal phrasing, his pitch, and his guitar playing, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And I did, and that made me fall in love with it. So I am a huge, huge Tony Rice fan. And I've studied him for probably a year and a half or 2 years now. And I'm nowhere near where I need to be.
What a great subject to study.
Oh, yeah. That was a good first one to be turned on to, too. I'm glad that she didn't point me on to somebody that wasn't, like, the best guitar player
right.
in history.
Yeah, he's amazing. Absolutely amazing. Well, the Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram time is 1:37. We are in studio with Kelvin Damrell of the Steel Drivers. And we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, let's grab one of those off of the new album. And we'll come back and talk some more.
Alrighty.
You guys stay tuned for more Bluegrass Breakout.
Get ready to get off-road with Pickup Country.
We're going
to
test your creativity.
104.9 WSKB.
Truth. I'm not
Bad For You, The Steel Drivers. You are just killing it on that.
That's hard to sing. Thank you, though.
I can imagine. But that was the one that you, whenever we were talking about which one to play and what you were going to do live for us, that's one that you have a lot of help with that, with the harmonies.
Yes, absolutely. If it was just me by myself, like I told you, it would just be that note for 15 seconds by myself, and it you know, the other ones really tie it together. Yeah. So.
And those harmonies are so amazing. That, you know, there's times that I've listened not just to the new album, but to some of the older stuff, that I just get carried away, like lost in finding all of those pitches as they're making their way together to the end of the song. And it blows me away. How do they, like, when you all get together and you are rehearsing or you're practicing or doing a new song, does everybody just find that on their own?
Yeah, me and Tammy do. We have to instruct Mike what to do every single time.
Okay.
I'm just joking, Mike. I love you, baby. No, I guess they have so much experience doing it. I don't really have to work that hard at it because I sing the written melody. And when you write a song, the written melody is what's on the work tape, you know, most of the time. So that on that one especially, they already had all the harmonies written to it because Tammy wrote Bad For You with, like, three other ladies, and Tammy was singing the main melody, and then there was two other ladies singing those other two, so they were already written on that specific song. But when we're trying to find them, we just get together and find them, you know. If it's mm-hmm. like I said, I don't ever have to work because I do the melody. I do the melody, and then she'll find her harmony, which is easier than finding the trial. She would agree with you. Mike's is the hardest one to find. Mm-hmm. One of the easiest ones to sing, but the hardest one to find. But, yeah, that's basically how it goes. We just get together and find them.
Well, I would love to sit in on one of those sessions just to hear and see the process.
It sounds really dumb for a while until we get it.
Until everybody finds their place. Yeah.
Yeah.
What is the most fun part of being with the Steel Drivers? Is it the performances? Is it the time that you're leading up to go perform? What to you do you enjoy the most about it?
Just the music itself. I like the hang, too. The hang's pretty cool. There's a lot of ancient knowledge that you learn being a young man around, and I don't mean that in any kind of way with age. I'm talking about music. Being a young
man. I'm glad you corrected that, because I was about to call you out on some ancient.
Being a young man who's just now got into bluegrass, that's what I meant, you know. Mm-hmm. They give you bluegrass knowledge and stuff that you're like, they tell me old Bill Monroe stories, and which is really cool because Bill's a fellow Kentuckian.
Mm-hmm.
And to know that he's kind of the dad of it all is pretty cool. And they tell you all these old stories about his feud with Jimmy Martin, and, you know, and everybody has stories. Richard played with Bill at the Station Inn a bunch, and he has a lot of Bill stories. Everybody does. And it's just those little tidbits. That's fun, you know, all that is. And the hang is definitely awesome, but the music is my favorite part. Like, we were talking about harmonies a second ago. I just texted them before I came here. We got this little app called GroupMe where we all talk, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling them, because I was listening to a few songs on the way over here of the Steel Drivers, and we come across Good Corn Liquor.
Oh, yeah.
And the harmony, and it reminded me of playing live, because sometimes we'll just absolutely nail that three-part harmony where it goes, and the sun don't shine on a moonshine still.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, do y'all know that part in that song? I was like, well, that's just one of my happy moments in life.
Oh,
I just
yeah.
want to let y'all know.
That is special. It really is. I know exactly what you're talking about.
It's so good.
So you guys spend all this time together. What is your, as far as when you're on the road, what is it that you guys do when you're at your destination and you're not playing? Do you guys go see sites, or do you go have to check out, like, the top-notch restaurants or the dives?
We're always separated.
Really?
We're always separated. We're separated by two cars. We don't tour with a tour bus, mm-hmm. like, hardly ever. And I'm sure if we were all together on the tour bus, that would happen a lot more often. But we usually will fly to our dates. and we'll rent SUVs. And half of the band, usually Tammy, Richard, and Brent, are in one SUV. And then me and Mike and our sound guy, Daniel, and our tour manager, Mike Copeland, we're all in a SUV together. And so if we decide to get to the gig and go do something, but most of the time it's we've been driving for 7 hours, let's hit the hotel room and go to sleep, you know. Then if we decide to get dinner, we'll send out a text.
Gotcha.
But if there is ever sightseeing to be done, you can bet that it will be done by me and Mr. Mike Fleming. Or Tammy, she likes to shop.
Now, what are some cool places you've got to see as a result of the music?
All right, a better question would be, what are some cool places that I haven't got to see? Because I've already seen a bunch of stuff. Okay, my favorite, one of my favorites, we were at the Western Continental Divide, and there's a huge statue of Abraham Lincoln, and we done a little video in front of it, and man, what are some other things? I didn't get to do much when we were in Washington, D.C. I wanted to see the Washington Monument, and I don't know what that is thing is where Lincoln's sitting on the chair. What is that building called?
The Lincoln Memorial.
Yeah, obviously. I'm dumb, sorry. I didn't get to see any of that. I want to, though.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, an easier question would be, what all have I not seen? Because
so you leave these places kind of still wanting to visit some things and not – you probably don't have the time, really.
No, you don't have time. It's work. It's work, 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 work. And sometimes – like, when I first joined this, my wife thought I was on a vacation until I started, you know, updating her every 15 minutes about what we were doing. She's – and, like, we'll go to the beach. We'll be playing right on the beach but never get to step foot in sand, you know?
There's a song in that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Speaking of songs, you said that you are getting ready to embark on some songwriting with someone down south. Is that correct?
Yeah, I got a songwriting appointment. We got some media days coming up in Nashville, the 28th and the 29th, and we got a little bit of free time after before our media day on the 29th. I'm going to write some with a guy named Tom Utes. He's a really good songwriter. He's wrote a lot. He actually, I Choose You.
Mm-hmm.
I Choose You, one of our singles from Bad For You, was written between Tammy and Tom Utes. And also the very the ending track from Bad For You called When a Heart Breaks was also written with Tom. He's a very good writer, very experienced.
Songwriting to me is kind of a mystery. I mean, I talk to a lot of songwriters. I've dabbled in it a little bit. The process is something that just kind of fascinates me. How you can take these little tidbits of things, and, you know, I talk to several artists that they get a line. They jot it in their notes of their phone, and then they go back to it, and then another line comes, and they it just kind of pieces together. With the songwriting you've done before, where do you get your start?
I'm not a songwriter by any means, and I don't want to act like I am or tell anybody out there they're listening that I am, but when I do write songs, it's a different process for me than what I hear in interviews and stuff, because, you know, mm-hmm. one of my favorite songwriters is Jason Isbell, and he says that you're supposed to, you know, sit down and with an idea and not let your critic out, you know, the little guy that's saying no, you're not supposed to let him out until you're at least halfway done with a song or something. And mine's out completely. So if I do sit down to write a song, it has to be with a pen and a paper and a guitar and strumming and humming until I find something that sounds good. And most of the time it's never from experience, though, when I write my songs, which is probably why they're not, you know, why they don't pique my interest enough to stay with it and write a good one, is because when I was young, I used to see, it seemed like I would kind of try to write from the heart, but now it just, there's not a lot that I have experience with, you know. I didn't have a lot of friends growing up and stuff. I was playing music when everybody else was hanging and doing stuff and going out and seeing stuff, and which I've done a bit of it, but not enough to really, I'm not a songwriter, I'll put it that way. I'm not a good songwriter, but I'm trying to get my feet wet with it. But where I start is I'll just sit down and hum and strum until something
comes up.
Until something good comes out of that. And if it does, you know, I'll jot it down. And then if inspiration strikes, I'll stay with it about halfway through until Sarah's like, Kelvin, can you come help me change this dirty diaper real quick? He will not sit still for me. And I'll be like, yeah. And then I'll go back and finish it. And I'm like, eh.
Being snapped to reality has that effect. I totally understand.
I feel like if I was in a room by myself for like 5 hours, I could probably come out with a pretty decent song, though.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I've written, well, I was telling you about that rock project. I really found some good qualities to my songwriting in that. But it took the inspiration of James Powell, the guitar player, because he has a lot of experience songwriting. It took him being there to inspire me to want to write something really good to impress him.
Mm.
And I don't know where that stems from, but it was, you know, I just really wanted to impress him as a songwriter. So I would think and just try to feel something. And every once in a while, something would come out that would be like, all right, this right here is going to, this is going to make him say, write it down. So, you know, it seems like I do better when I'm with other people.
Makes sense. And a lot of folks are like that. I've talked to several people that they prefer to co-write with others because they get that little bit of creative juice, but they don't feel it's enough to really blossom into something more, and they play off of each other's energies. Bringing it back home, what do you do for fun when you're not playing music? I know you've got kids and they take up a lot of your time. What kinds of fun things do you do with your kids?
Me and my wife, we just enjoy taking them. Here's the thing. A lot of people get babysitters a lot, but we don't. Sarah is with our kids 100% of the time. Well, 99.999. You know, every once in a while we'll get a date night for ourselves, but we enjoy being around our kids, you know. Now, they take focus away from each other sometimes, mm-hmm. and you have to make time for that. You really do. But, the things we do for fun with our kids is basically we'll go to like Monkey Joe's or something, or, you know, or to Chuck E. Cheese, and I get to be a kid for a while, and they like when I go from dad to kid.
Mm-hmm.
Because a lot of times I have to be dad way more than I can be friend. And in those times they like when I can be their friend. And that's what we do for fun, because we don't really have that many friends. And when it doesn't have to do with our children, though, I really like doing remodeling. I really like to work with my hands. So most of the time I got a buddy that's doing something, and I can go help him do some painting, or, you know, tearing up some baseboards, and, you know, laying some hardwood floors, hanging some drywall, something of that nature.
Gotcha. All right. Well, folks, we are here in the studio with Kelvin Damrell of the Steel Drivers. We've got more to come. The Tanner Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram time is 1:59, and the temperature on the Pickup Country front porch right now, 30 degrees, but if you're standing in the sun, it feels warmer, just to let you know that. Don't forget, we do have a big event coming up on Saturday. The Tyler Childers Day is going to begin immediately at midnight on Friday night, and we will be playing Tyler Childers all day, all the way up until 11:59 p.m. on Saturday night. And I know you're thinking, but what about Tradio? Well, we've got Tradio covered as well. Even during Tradio, you will hear Tyler Childers music instead of our beloved Tony Rice, Lonesome Reuben. So it's just for that day. I know everybody loves the Tradio song as much as I do, because it is Tony Rice. But we will be replacing that just for this Saturday with Tyler Childers. So we hope you'll join us for that. Tell somebody about it. It's a good reason to be proud. We're all celebrating his Grammy nomination, and we just want to show some support whether he wins or not. He is certainly worthy of the nomination. So you guys be sure and join us for that. If you haven't already downloaded our free app, you can go to the Google Play Store. Just do you a nice little search on apps for Pickup Country. It downloads for free, and then you can take us and stream us anywhere you are. And we appreciate you tuning in and listening like a local. We're going to take a short break. It is time for the news. And when we come back, more with Kelvin Damrell. You all stay tuned.
This is Luna of Luna and the Mountain Jets, and I'm here to thank you for supporting local music, local artists, and local radio when you listen like a local to Pick Up Country WSKV at listenlikealocal.com.
Jack Daniels and a Coca-Cola.
Play me a shovel or two to lighten up the mood.
Bob Wells on an old Ricola.
I need the neon lights to shed some neon light
on my what we had went wrong.
She ain't sad and that's two of us glad I'm gone.
The Steel Drivers and Glad I'm Gone. We are here in the studio with Kelvin Damrell of the Steel Drivers. And that was one of them you said that we needed to play. And you are planning on doing some live stuff for us. But before we do that, you guys have the Manchester Music Hall date coming up February the 14th. What else is in the works that folks can be watching for?
We have a show right after that. The next night, the 15th, in Ashland at the Paramount Arts Theater, I think it's called. I could be wrong about that.
I will look to be sure.
But I know that it is in Ashland the next night.
Yep, Paramount Arts Center. You had it right.
And that one is, I think there's still tickets available for all of these that we'll be talking about here. But that's what's going on the night before and the night or the night after that, and then the night before, I think we'll be in Columbus.
Mm-hmm. It looks like at the Lincoln Theater.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's pretty far drive from where we're at right now. But
some of these dates I'm seeing a lot in Texas.
Yeah, we have four dates in Texas at the end of this month, which that was one of my very first runs, too, was a four-day run in Texas. But at the end of this month is, like, completely crazy, by the way. We never tour this much. If you're on there looking at the tour dates on our website, we don't ever do this much in 1 month. It's because of the release of our album on the 7th. And I'm not sure what we're going to do as far as a party with our release for the album release. I asked them. They said, we're playing that night, so we'll see.
So the official date of the release?
February 7th.
All right. And it looks like, yeah, you guys are going to be in Roanoke, Virginia for that.
Yep.
All right. And we are very fortunate because we have the album already because we're special. And we're glad because it's really, really good. Folks are going to love this.
We're looking forward to it. There's been talk, and I don't know who the quote was from, but there's been talk of album of the year. So.
Ooh, nice.
I hope. Let us hope and pray.
Now, you guys have got... you've got the dates coming up. You've got the new album release. Are there going to be any videos shot for the new album?
We have one video. I'm not sure if there's going to be any shot, but I mean, as far as like that show us playing anything, but there's already a video right now for I Choose You, and it's out on YouTube right now, and it's a lyric video, and it's a sweet little video. And it shows little hummingbirds flying around and couples
aww,
hugging on each other and taking selfies. But you can check that out on YouTube. Just look up the Steel Drivers, I Choose You. And there's a lyric video, and there's also a video with just the song. So you can find that and Bad For You on YouTube.
All right. So, folks listening, you need to go check those out. And go ahead and, is there a pre-order option for
there
your
is
album?
On Apple Music. You can pre-order it on Apple Music. If your phone works the same as my phone, you just look up the Steel Drivers as an artist, and then you go to Bad For You and Albums, and you can hit the pre-order button on there if you do Apple Music. As far as Spotify and just ordering the physical copy of the album, I'm not really sure, but
it looks like on the website, if you go to the store, there is, yes, you can pre-order Bad For You. Look, you can do that right there on the website.
Uh-oh. Y'all better get them in.
Yes, indeed. Look at there.
And these will be autographed, too. I'm not sure.
That's what it says. Pre-order bonus CD will be autographed by the Steel Drivers.
There you go. And the vinyl, you can pre-order the vinyl, too.
All right, guys, you better jump on this.
Jump on it.
That is pretty cool. What do you think about the whole trend toward vinyl?
I love it. I feel bad because I haven't used any of my vinyls in, like, years. I've got all the Led Zeppelin vinyls. I've got all of the Bob Seger vinyls. I got a box of vinyls probably that tall, and I haven't touched them in years. They're gathering dust. But I need to get me a player, and I would burn them up.
I find it just amazing because I would have never dreamed when everybody made the switch from vinyl to cassette, the quality of the sound seemed so much better.
Uh-huh.
Because you didn't have all the popping and cracking and stuff. And then with CDs, it got even more
fine-tuned.
And it's amazing how many people love vinyl. And they swear by it. Like, I only want vinyl.
Yeah.
Like, who does that?
We sell a lot of vinyl at our shows at the merch table. We get rid of it pretty quick. Now we've got our first album, the Black Album, people call it. It's just the self-titled debut album by the Steel Drivers. And then our second album, Reckless, it is on vinyl now. It is now on vinyl. I think it came out on vinyl like August of last year. But you can get those both at our show and our website, as well as T-shirts and other goodies.
All kinds of nice merch, for sure. I was looking at their shirts. Nice, nice stuff here.
That picture right there is, I look so serious.
And you do look serious.
The reason I was so serious is because they put about a pound and a half of makeup on me, and I couldn't scratch my nose. I didn't even want to do all that, but they insisted, and they also took my beard, because as you can tell here, I don't have it don't grow black on the right side of my mustache.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if the camera people out there can see that. But it don't grow black on this side, so they had to sit there with an eyeliner pencil and draw in the rest of my mustache. And the reason I look so serious, though, is because my nose was itching so bad, and I couldn't scratch it. You had to tap it instead of scratching.
Gotcha. Well, Tammy looks pretty.
Oh, yeah. Look at Richard. Look how pretty Richard looks. Look at Brent's hair.
So what kind of experiences have you had with meeting Steel Drivers fans? Because I imagine that folks want to talk to you all after the shows. Do you make time to meet with them? And
yes, we do every time. Well, almost every time. Sorry about that, people who haven't got to do the meet and greets. But almost every time. If it works out to where the place that we're in, that it's easy for us to go set up a table and we're not having to fight through people to get to the table, that makes it a lot easier. Because as much as we do like shaking and howdying out in the crowd, when it's time to sign merch and stuff, we're really, really, really tired from traveling all day. So we like to get to the table at least.
Mm-hmm.
And then we can talk all night. But if it works out that we can get to the table and sit down pretty easy, which is most nights that we play, then we'll just almost every time do a meet and greet or a signing or whatever. And it doesn't cost any extra. I mean, some places may cost you extra to do that, but That's not because of us, though, y'all. Just saying.
Mm-hmm.
That's venue.
So any good merch table stories? Have you had anything like really funny happen at the merch table meeting fans of the Steel Drivers?
Not really. I mean, everybody's really nice. Everybody's really nice and sweet, and there's been nobody try to tackle anybody or anything yet. And they all look at me because they think I'm just strong, but I'm really just fat. But if anybody like starts being a little bit belligerent, everybody's looking over at me like, Kelvin, if anything happens, you're our dude. You're going to have to do something. We're all, you know, getting old, and we can't fight anymore. But, yeah, nothing crazy yet.
Nothing crazy yet. What is it like for you being the newest member, meeting Steel Drivers fans who have been fans for years? How have they received you?
Oh, it's been wonderful. I'm thankful for that. That's one of the biggest things I'm thankful for, is that I didn't know how well I was going to take criticism. I've always took constructive criticism and bad criticism fairly positive in the past, but for a band of this caliber, I was really worried that I wasn't going to be accepted, because people really love Gary. You know, mm-hmm. They had finally gotten over the hurt of losing Chris, and then they finally got used to, you know, Gary, and they came to love Gary, and then he's gone, and here's this new cat. Like it's my fault or something, you know.
But anyway.
All
right, Yoko.
But anyway, everybody has treated me so good. I'm so thankful. No, not one person has, you know, cussed me or told me I suck.
Well, I would hope not.
And I'm thankful for that, because that's something hard to break into is diehard fans. Mm-hmm. You know, it's hard to get into their heart. But here I am.
It sounds like you've done it.
And I'm just thankful.
That's good.
Because it could have been bad, but it was good. So
good. Well, folks, we are here in studio with Kelvin Damrell, and we are going to get geared up here to let him do some live stuff in just a few. But before we do that, I do want to make sure that folks can find the Steel Drivers. If you haven't already, I feel like I'm probably talking to people who already are familiar, but just in case, thesteeldrivers.com is the website, and there you're going to find everything you need to know. The tour, there's news, music, videos, there's the store. Don't forget about the store. This is awesome that they can pre-order and actually get autographed CD or vinyl. So if you are interested in that upcoming CD, be sure and get pre-ordered for that. And if you want to send them some mail, some email, there's a contact that you can, some contact information. Send them an email. Let them know how much you love, because, hey, nobody gets tired of hearing that they're loved.
Hey, and there's a big, beautiful picture when you first click on the website of my make-upped fake right side of my mustache. So if you're looking at that picture, you are looking at eyeliner and blonde peach fuzz hair meshed together.
You do look so serious.
Well, I have to, because I've gained a lot of weight, and it's hard for me to be the happy type, mm-hmm. like I always am. You know, I had to come across. Plus, this album's rock and rolly, and they want you to kind of look
serious,
tough. You know,
yeah.
Which I'm not tough looking. I'm just fat looking. But but I just have to be. No joke. I'm usually like the smiley type, but for this, I just wanted to be stern looking, I guess.
Very stoic.
Stoic, yes. Stoic. That's a good word. I didn't know what that word meant until it was explained to me, so that shows my hillbilliness.
Now, you said they put, was it like a mascara, like a brush? Is that
it
how
was,
they did it?
It was the thing that women do their eyelashes with.
Okay.
And they done it on my...
On your mustache.
My mustache, and then they penciled it in to shape it.
Interesting.
And then they powdered this stuff on you. This is like this liquid brown stuff that like matches your skin. I think it's called foundation.
Foundation.
Mm-hmm. That's what it is. I know it's called foundation. My wife uses foundation. But anyway, they dotted me with it like 5 times on my nose and across through here and through here. And she starts like poking me with this thing. I'm like, oh my gosh.
Yeah.
And then... My nose never itches, by the way, until I'm not allowed to scratch it. And then I'm not joking, it happened all day long. And I wasn't doing it on purpose, but I'm like, and that makeup lady, she stayed with us the whole day in case, you know.
In case you mess up.
Did scratch their nose. And I'd scratch my nose. She'd be like, hey, watch it. And I'm like, Oh my gosh, I'm sorry. I'm like, it itches though. What are you supposed to do? Sit there and let it itch?
Nah,
not me. I'm scratching that thing. That's why you here. Come back over here and do it again.
Mm-hmm.
No, they're great.
And see, folks just don't know what artists have to go through just for promotional materials.
Yeah, God love our little hearts. But, you know, I was thinking about how hard it is now compared to how hard it was before. And I think like 2 days before my audition with the Steel Drivers, we do a lot of copper flashings. We used to where I worked at Barnhill Chimney Company up in Lexington. And this new guy, he was new at the time. He's one of their main dudes now. But my buddy Colin, I was trying to show him how to properly drive a copper nail through a roof and through other pieces of metal because they bend really easy if you sissy foot around with them and tap them real easy. And that's what he'd been over like two or three. I'm like, here's how you do it, man. I'm like, you got to get it started where it stands on its own, move your hand out of the way, and slam it one hit. And when I did, I knocked the crap out of my finger.
Oh.
And my whole fingernail was black. I mean, like, it was either the day before the audition or 2 days before the audition, which required me to play guitar. He laughed for the rest of the day. I'm like, that's what I get. That's what I get.
Wow.
But think about tour life now. Yeah. When I'm thinking things are hard, I'm just being lazy or something. I'm like, man, this sucks. I'm like, think back to that. That's a good way to keep a man humble right there. Think about it being 30 degrees outside in the middle of the wintertime mm-hmm. and smashing your finger with a 28-ounce E-swing hammer. Then think about how hard tour life is there, buddy.
That's it.
Yeah.
All right. Well, we're keeping it real and keeping it humble here on Bluegrass Breakout today. And we are going to take just a short break. And I think we'll go ahead and get you set up to play something for us.
All righty.
And so we've got Kelvin Damrell. He's going to do some songs for us. And we'll be right back with more Bluegrass Breakout. Don't you go anywhere.
Hey, this is Tyler Childers, and you're listening to WSKV 104.9.
Thank you. is right. Clearly you don't even want me. So just be real and let me go. Set me free. Let me go.
And you are listening to Bluegrass Breakout here on Pickup Country, 104.9 FM WSKV, and on the web at listenlikealocal.com. We're so excited to have in studio with us Kelvin Damrell, and he is going to be doing something for us live. What is it you're going to do for us first?
A song called Burning the Woodshed Down, and it's the Kelvin Damrell version of it without the rest of the Steel Drivers version of it.
Well, I'm looking forward to it. Take it away.
I'm looking forward to this version of it.
Summer sun is swinging low out there in that cotton row, surrounded by my sorrow. Summer sun is swinging low. Ain't no mother
mother for my brother and me. Lost her back in 63. Drowned herself in a sea of gin and beans. Ain't no mother for my brother and me, no. So I'm burning the woodshed down. Ashes all around, yeah, burning the woodshed down. Daddy beat me in black and he beat me. Hickory stick in two. God only knows what I'm bound to do. When he beat me black and he beat me blue. So I'm burning the woodshed down. Gonna burn it to the ground. I'm gonna kick the ashes all around.
All right, Kelvin Damrell, you know, I like your version, too. That's
that's an improvised version of my version of the real version.
Okay, do that again. What now?
All righty.
All right, we are here with Kelvin Damrell, burning the woodshed down. Yeah, like to nothing, to dust. And we're really excited to have him here. You said you were going to do a couple more for us. I'd have just let you just do what you're going to do. Tell us what you're doing and
do
it. I
just kind of feel like I'm doing an acoustic solo show here. I'm going to do one called To Be With You Again, if I'm still in the right tune. Said I cannot wait for dawn to break. I must be on my way. Before I pass this way again, be many a dog day. The sheriff does not know my face, and he does not know my name. But before the sun goes down again, he'll know them just the same. One kiss before I leave you, and one more for the wind. Every day I hope and pray to be
My word. That was awesome. Thank you. Of course, I did tell you beforehand that is one of my favorite songs.
She requested that one.
I did. That was my special request. It was. Yeah, that was killer. So how long did it take you to do the all that crazy guitar picking on that? How long did it take you to pick that up and learn it like that?
I learned all the songs that we play on tour in 2 weeks.
That's insane.
They've changed a bit from here to there. You know, they there was probably 5 or 6 songs we're doing now we didn't do when I first started, but they gave me a list to learn, and I learned it. I learned that sucker, and I worked hard.
No
and
doubt.
And I forgot a lot of lyrics on stage.
No doubt. That's incredible. All right, so you got another one? Sounds like you're getting another one. Folks, we are listening to Kelvin Damrell of the Steel Drivers, and he is a native here of KY and lives in Berea, and he is just doing it. It's incredible. So what do you got for us?
The song is off of the new album, Bad For You. The song is titled The Bartender. In parentheses, it says, load the gun. It has nothing to do with a gun.
All right.
If I'm not buzzing, I can do this. Hold on. Looking for redemption in his Jameson on ice. I wipe down the bar, and I can't wipe away his past. So I just pour another shot of whiskey in his glass. Some may call me a sinner, but when it's all said and done, I don't pull the trigger. I just load the gun, that's right. Look at your pictures and agree she did you wrong. I'll be the one you lean on. I'll be here all night long. I'm just here to listen, brother. I ain't here to judge. Long as you've got your money, I'll just serve it up. Some may call me a sinner, but when it's all said and done, I don't pull the trigger. I just load the gun.
Kelvin Damrell here in studio with us. of the Steel Drivers. So I've got to know, what kind of vocal exercises do you do? Or do you have anything to warm up?
Like I just sing a little bit before I have to sing. That's the best I feel like you could do. And if my voice is feeling scratchy or something, I'll drink some hot tea, some throat coat tea or something with a lot of honey in it.
So no special regimen to keep that instrument doing what it does.
That's just about it. Just singing. Singing before you sing is the best thing you can do. Warm up your voice. See, mine, if I just go on without some kind of preliminary practice or something, you know, I'll end up blowing my voice at the end of the night if I don't warm up a little bit by singing before I sing.
Singing before you sing. So aspiring singers out there who want to attempt to do what Kelvin does with his voice, because it kind of sounds like vocal acrobatics or something. I mean, like, really?
Well, thank you.
Incredible. Now, you've got, I'm trying to get our video straightened out. I've actually got somebody, Ethan is in here, trying to get our band video back up because for some reason it has decided to go bye-bye. But if we can get that up, we'd like to at least get one good video of you playing. You have how many more in your back pocket to share with us?
I have two more.
All right. Well,
if you have the time.
You know we have the time. Actually, we don't. We've got 10 minutes left. So how about you pick one, and hopefully we can get the tail end of this by video, or we may just have to grab it after we go off air. What do you got for us?
I was going to do another one off the new album, but you have that album, so you can play it if you want to. So I'll just go with an old one.
Okay. Suits me.
This is called Blue Side of the Mountain. Shadows. Gotta find some peace before I lose my mind. On the blue side of the mountain, where the sun don't ever shine. So deep and dark, like a hurting down in my heart. Maybe something there will show me some kind of sign.
All right. Blue Side of the Mountain, Kelvin Damrell of the Steel Drivers. And I just want to thank you for coming in and spending time with us today, sharing that all of your great music, your stories. I especially like the one about the makeup. No, really, it's been a great time. Thank you so much.
Yeah,
we appreciate
it. Thank you for having me.
And folks, seriously, you need to go to the website, steeldrivers.com, and pre-order their new album. Get it in vinyl, and get yourself a ticket to Manchester Music Hall, because it is going to be a great time. And they're just going to be coming off of that new release. It's February 14th, so Valentine's Day. If you have a sweetheart, take them to Manchester Music Hall, because it's going to be a good time.
Nothing says Happy Valentine's Day like murder ballads and stuff. So
yeah, exactly. Well, you know, we live in the land of the kind of thing that's kind of romantic, you know.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is there anything else you want to share with folks before we do sign off? We've got just a few minutes left.
No, other than if anybody likes the guitar that I'm playing here, this is a Taylor 612, and it was donated for trying to me by Devin Malone and Tim Godwin at Taylor Guitars.
Nice. Excellent. All right. Well, thank you guys for listening and making us part of your Tuesday. We'll be back with Bluegrass Breakout on Thursday from 1 to 3. And in the meantime, get you some Steel Drivers. And if you are looking to be, or if you are already, I should say, a fan of the Steel Drivers, they do have a fan group for the Steelheads. So go find that and join. You'll see all kinds of great videos and information. You'll be kept up to date on what's happening with them. So, again, a big thank you to Kelvin Damrell, and thank you for listening like a local. We're going to sign off today with some Emmy Sunshine. Here she is with Family Wars. You guys be blessed. Take care. And don't forget, I love y'all. Ain't nothing you can do about it.